My work was done in conjunction with Ms. Streckers, who preceded me. I'm going to be talking about ground-penetrating radar as a method of determining the structure of leaf-cutting ant nests. To start off with, I'm going to talk a little bit about the structure, the basic structure of a leaf-cutting ant nest. You have a layer of red soil that's brought up from the bottom. It's red because it's oxidized. Below the surface, usually starting between 30 centimeters and 1 meter, you have chambers which range from about 10 centimeters to 30 centimeters in size. That's diameter. And these chambers can go all the way down to 4 meters and beyond. There is evidence from previous studies by Dr. Moser and others that their galleries and tunnels can extend all the way down to the water table. This is what the above ground view of a leaf cutter nest looks like. In a more established nest, the entire surrounding area would be devoid of all vegetation. This is what a chamber looks like. You've got a globular fungus in there. This chamber is about 20 centimeters in diameter. So GPR, ground penetrating radar, we have a single device which with both an antenna and a receiver. You send down a signal into the soil, and you wait for a predetermined amount of time. In our study, we used between 50 and 60 nanoseconds. You will get a response back, usually an amplitude change in the signal, which will signify that it's gotten a reflection off of something in the subsurface. That could be metal, it could be a biomass, like a tree root, or it could be a void, like a chamber or gallery. In order to get a three-dimensional picture of the underground, we scanned in a grid pattern. This allows us to get multiple horizontal views that we can then combine to create an isometric three-dimensional picture of the subsurface. This is what the GPR device looks like. We created lines on the surface with spray paint and string, and we dragged it across. It's a fairly painstaking process. Our three locations were in Magellan's Pass, Cataxi National Forest, and Anacocha, Louisiana. These all have very sandy soil types, which is rather the most well-suited soil for ground-penetrating radar because it does not contain a large amount of water. This is what our excavations look like. We did excavate the nest after GPR scans to validate our results. In the horizontal view, each horizontal scan, you can see that the signature of a chamber is a parabola shape because of the length in, rather the extension of the signal response time when you're farther away. It's not a point-directed signal, it is a radially broadcasted signal. When we do look at the horizontal scans, you can tell from the shape sometimes of the objects what it is. You can see on the top left there we've got a root. In the top right you can see large globular structures which we've determined to be chambers. In the bottom you've got an example of a metal reflection. Metal is a perfect reflector and it can create ringing in the antenna and you can't really tell anything else about the area if there's a lot of metal in the ground. So we take these horizontal scans and we combine them into a three-dimensional volumetric picture. From the volumetric picture, we can create a three-dimensional isometric picture through the Marching Cubes algorithm. Now, we go in and by hand compare the results from the three-dimensional isometric model to what we've found in excavation. And what we found is that our type 2 error rate, or false negatives, has a fairly high error rate. It's about 25%, but we do not get a lot of false positives, which is a good thing. Again, these are fairly preliminary data. We've only really done this analysis for two of the dig sites. The Magellan's Pass area had a lot of metal in the ground and wasn't necessarily suitable for this kind of study. And so, in conclusion, we can say that this GPR method can be an effective method of measuring what's under the subsurface. We can currently determine where the nest is under the surface and can estimate the density of the chambers, but we do not have the resolution to tell exactly how large the chambers are, and we're not confident that we're not missing things. And in the future, we do need a more rigorous analysis of our raw signal data. We're currently working with our statistics department with that. We do need further experimentation to identify our sources of error. We need to determine which types of soil types and biomasses will have which effects on our models. And we're also looking at doing time studies to determine interactions with leaf-cutting ants between biomass like tree roots. We want to determine whether tree roots will preferentially grow into chambers or whether chambers are preferentially created around vegetation. So I'd also like to thank the LSU Agricultural Center. I'd like to thank Dr. Greg Henderson and Juhao Yang in our neighboring laboratory, Dr. Linda Bui, and also those who helped us in the excavations. Yes.
What frequency of read are you
using? We used a 400 megahertz antenna.
400 megahertz, so that gives you penetration to a couple meters?
Yes. In our most wet soils, we got about 2.5 meters penetration. In our Anacocha area, which was a much drier soil, we were able to penetrate up to about 4.5 meters. Yes.
When you showed the grid, what sort of
our interval was 30 centimeters, and we did one scan per centimeter on that 30 on each 30 centimeter line. Yes.
Yeah, had any success finding dumps, underground dumps?
You mean like waste dumps? Are you talking about the detritus chambers or human created dumps?
No, the ant underground.
Okay. With these scans, we are not yet, at least, able to determine what's in the chambers from the GPR scans. During excavation, we did find one or two possible detritus chambers, but with the scans, we're not able to determine that.
But the maybe John knows more about this, but my understanding is they're very deep under.
Yes.
Below,
yes.
So you need to detect the chambers that.
Beyond 4.5 meters, we're not able to detect with confidence.
Yeah. And what about, can you distinguish large tunnels, like kind of the central tunnels?
We can get very basic estimates on the size of the chambers and tunnels. Certainly, we have had signal responses from large galleries.
I mean tunnels that connect galleries.
You're talking about the foraging tunnels, or
yeah.
The foraging tunnels are too small with our resolution in order to see them. Yes.
Is there a variable frequency radar available commercially? I mean, I think you can see about 1 centimeter with resolution.
I don't know of any variable frequency radars that are available. Our model that we use is actually the newest model from from GIS. We used the SR3000 model. It's a fairly new model. These models are very commonly used in construction and geo surveys and that kind of thing when you're looking for very large structures on the ground, like water tables and layers of soil and things. So this is actually a fairly new application for this instrument. It's not a lot has been developed for it. Yeah?
You spoke earlier about they can go 4.5 or even deeper, some of these chambers.
Yes.
When you excavated, how deep did you go?
We went up to about 4 meters in our deepest excavations. Yes?
When you talked about things that you were missing,
yes.
Were those on this chambers?
Sorry?
Were they fungus chambers?
Yes, yes. Things that we were missing were fungus chambers, yes. Any other questions?